Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorton. I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We've got a great show for you tonight. And if you want to call in, ask questions, 323-870-3857. And let's get started with the fights last night. ESPN, George Gambosos versus Maxi Hughes. Gambosos wins a close majority decision over Hughes, 114-114, 117-111, and 115-113. Beeb, there was a lot of people, including the ringside guy for ESPN last night. Was that, who was that? It wasn't Farhood.
Kriegel.
Oh, screw what Kriegel says. Anyway, he had it for Maxi Hughes. A lot of people had it for Maxi Hughes. A lot of people say it was a robbery. Beeb, what say you?
I had Hughes winning the fight 115 and 113. I don't think it's a robbery. When I was listening to Kriegel, describe his scorecard, and he was reading off his scorecard during the fight, he had Hughes winning the first three rounds. And I was saying to myself, there's no way these three judges have Hughes winning the first three rounds. I actually gave Gambosos the first two, and I gave Hughes the third. I thought Gambosos eked out the first. I could see the second maybe going to Hughes. It's possible. After six, I had this fight even, right? I thought Gambosos was trying to be the aggressor. I don't think he was extremely effective at being the aggressor. Right. I thought Hughes was trying to set traps, but he wasn't really landing shots in the process of setting traps because he wasn't effectively countering consistently in the first half of the fight. So I thought it was a kind of a nip and tuck first half of the fight, pretty even. Where the fight turned, in my opinion, was the second half, where Gambosos once again was trying to be the aggressor, but Hughes was timing him. He was starting to get his rhythm. He was starting to, gauge the range a little bit better. And when Gambosos was trying to come forward, Hughes was starting to land those left hands down the pike. He was landing short uppercuts on the inside. So he was really dialed in with that left hand, right? So I thought Hughes went on a little run. I gave Gambosos the seventh, but I thought Hughes went on a little run. I thought he won rounds 8, 9, 10, and 11, and I gave Gambosos the 12th. Now, rounds 8 and 10, I gave to Hughes. But you could make an argument that possibly the 8 and 10 could have went to Gambosos. So if I swing those two rounds to Gambosos, he could get a 7-5 scorecard. So I would say it's not impossible, but I would say improbable. If you were to take a poll right now, I would venture to say that probably 85 to 90% of the people would tell you Hughes won, right? But I don't think this was a runaway fight for Hughes. Could you have scored 8-4? Some people had it 9-3, but what you probably could not do, which was very, very incredulous, is score this 9-3 for Gambosos. There's no way Gambosos, in my opinion, won 9 rounds. Like I said, you could get him to 7. As hard as that could be, you could get him there, but it's a little bit it's unlikely and improbable, but it's not impossible, right? So this was a fight that was close. I do think Hughes won it. This is a fight that I do not think Gambosos looked good at, put in. During the roundtable last week, I said I think Gambosos will win, but I don't think he'll look good doing so. And I thought Hughes was a good value play. I didn't have the balls to bet on him, though. I should have bet. Either way, I would have lost, but he was a good value play. I was talking to Ness today. Ness actually bet on Hughes, and he was like very happy during the fight. He thought he was going to get it. I actually feel bad for people who bet on Hughes because I do think he won the fight. And I mean, if there was a winner, regardless of how close it was, I think he did win the fight. So was this a robbery? No. I think you could argue it's probably a questionable decision, especially the 9-3. But one thing is for certain, Kaposis, all the stars aligned perfectly for him against Tio that night. You know, he was lucky to get Teofimo Lopez going into that fight with a broken esophagus. The fight kept getting delayed. There was just a lot of bad things surrounding that. I mean, he won the fight. He gets credit for it. But if those two guys fight 9 times out of 10, Tio wins 9 out of 10 times. And, you know, people were saying, oh, well, we need to see the old Kaposis. Well, the old Kaposis is the guy that won by split decision against Lee Selby, won by split decision against Mickey Bay, and eked out a split decision against a guy who had a broken esophagus. So, once again, this was another tight fight that arguably he lost. So we have to maybe come to grips with this. What we saw last night and what we saw against Lee Selby and what we saw against Mickey Bay, that's more than likely the real quote-unquote Kaposis, which is no disrespect. You can argue he's like still a top 10 guy, maybe top 12, but he's at the bottom end. I can name a lot of guys like Shakur beats him, I think. Obviously, Haney beats him.
He's a gatekeeper.
Lomachenko beats him. Jermaine Ortiz beats him.
Yep.
Frank Martin, I think, beats him. I think you could Isak Cruz beats him, in my opinion.
No, stop it.
No, he would.
No,
he
stop it.
Oh, yeah.
Not beating Kaposis. Stop it.
Oh, he will.
Quit. Stop.
Did you see the Tank fight?
Yeah, I saw the Tank fight.
That was close. I had Tank beating Isak 115 and 113.
Eh.
I think he beats Kaposis.
Nah.
Yeah, and I would even argue, that guys like they wouldn't be favored against them, but they're like 50-50 fights in my opinion. I think a guy like Jorge Linares could possibly beat him.
Nah, Linares is too old, man. Linares is too old.
Well, Linares gave Devin Haney a good fight, right? Let me ask you this: who gave Devin Haney a better fight, JoJo Diaz or George Kaposis?
Yeah, Kaposis, I mean, it's...
See what I'm saying?
Out of the 24 rounds that they fought, right? Out of the 24 rounds, I don't know that we can really give Kaposis any of the rounds.
Maybe two or three out of 24.
Maybe.
Right?
Maybe.
So when you look
but
at
Devin
Linares...
Haney's a special fighter. Jorge Linares, not so much.
But look at... Well, Linares is a great fighter in his own right.
Right.
I mean,
Not now.
But even then, he still gave Haney a good fight.
But in all seriousness, do you think Linares is in the same class as Haney?
Absolutely not.
So then he was not. I mean, when I say special fight, I mean Haney, Shakur, Linares.
Oh yeah, yeah,
in
yeah.
The same
no,
breath, right?
No, no.
Okay.
But when I look at what Haney, excuse me, when I look at what JoJo Diaz and Linares, in my opinion, they gave Devin Haney better fights than Kaposis did, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I just think Kaposis is very limited, in my opinion, with all due respect.
Oh, he's absolutely limited. He's the gatekeeper.
If you're eking out a split decision against a guy like Mickey Bay, who's way past it, Lee Selby, way past it, and you're eking out split decisions against those guys, you can lose to anybody, really, if you think about it.
Stop it. Somebody in the chat said a prime Linares beats Haney. Stop it.
I don't.
Come on.
I disagree
Stop
with that.
It. Some Rondo says it's never a robbery if you ask Ringside Reporter Live. So, let me break down my qualifications for a robbery. Robbery to me is when I cannot make a case for the other guy winning and he won.
Yeah.
Roy Jones Jr. is a perfect example in the Olympics.
Yeah.
I can't make a case for that. Chavez Whitaker, I can't make a case for a draw. I can't.
I'll tell you the most egregious scorecard I've ever seen in a big fight was Irislandi Lara versus Paul Williams. Lara clearly won that fight.
Yeah.
I can't even make an argument. Look at this. Look at this.
I knew this would get you. Now, listen, we're not going to go into this right now, but BZ World, if you're there, please stay here because we are going to address Glovegate in just a little bit here. He says, Beebs, shaking my head, Beebs, come on, man. You got to go for one black fighter. Like, come on. You say that stacking is not real? It's completely
I'm
real.
I'm not saying it's not real.
I'm just saying it's not illegal.
The Association of Boxing Commissions is saying that it's not real. It's not in the rules. I posted the Association of Boxing Commissions. Whenever you hear a big fight, right, and they go, this fight will be held under the unified rules of boxing. You know what the unified rules of boxing are? They are from the Association of Boxing Commissions.
Yeah, Lewis versus Holyfield. Another one I cannot justify. Can't justify it.
Yeah. I like Fulton a lot.
Before we even get to that, let's finish this because we got a whole thing on the
interview. Yeah, let's finish.
We're gonna break that down.
We'll do it step
like
by step. I'm getting ahead
yeah.
of myself.
Yeah, you know, these guys. We got you know they get us. You know they get under our collars. Beeb, did you check out the jersey, Cincinnati baby, the Reds? Best team in baseball right now. Did you know that? Do you know where they're from? Do you know where they're from?
Cincinnati.
That's right. That's right. Let them know. All right. Let's see what we got here. All right. Keyshawn Davis versus Francisco Patera. Keyshawn Davis smashed this guy, man.
Showcase
fight if I've ever seen it. 189 twice, 99-90. I don't know how they gave Patera a round. Davis knocked him down in the eighth round. He looked good. I'll say this. He looked good going the distance. Did everything you want to know. Didn't look like he wore down. Looked fresh. Looked good all the way through. They got to be careful with the pacing, man. Patera had 32 pro fights. And I know they know what they're doing at Top Rank. I'm just saying, I don't want to see him push that fast. You know, you're not looking at it like a Vasyl Lomachenko where he's going for the title in the second fight or who's the other guy, the Cuban guy that they're – Morel, you know, that they're really pushing and stuff, and he's kind of accelerated and everything. Just take this guy. He's got something, man. He's got something. Will he be the next thing? I don't know. But he's definitely got something, and I want to see how he develops. But I'd like
Cruz.
To see him brought along, you know.
Cruz is the other guy, the Cuban lightweight they got, the guy that supposedly beat him in the – well, the guy that did beat him in the Olympics. And it was a close fight. So
MEZ Box, you didn't think he got smashed last night? You didn't think Keyshawn Davis looked great last night? I think that was a complete, you know, Nando Llamas. Huh? A lot of – says Keyshawn Johnson has no – or Keyshawn Davis, excuse me. Has no killer instinct. Andy Cruz versus Davis is an awful fight. I think Schofield beats Keyshawn. Come on, man. Stop. No way. Yeah, Robeson Ramirez is getting fast track too. Yeah, that I don't understand at all. But, you know, what are you going to do? But I thought, you know, overall, I think he looked good, man. I think he looked good. I think they match him again. Just match him with, you know, with another, you know, just take it slow. There's no reason to rush this guy. You know, he's got a lot of talent. He's got a lot of ability. And the key for this guy is going to be to keep him busy. All those young fighters, man, you want to keep them busy. Why is it nobody ever keeps it busy like they kept Tyson busy in his beginning?
As I said before, a couple reasons why. I think now PBC just has so many fighters. And I don't think they have enough dates for the fighters. That's number one. And another reason I believe too is these guys make such great money that they don't have to fight as often as fighters did in the past because you know one fight and they're set for the year.
Guys are
incentivized to not have to fight a lot because they're making so much money.
Crazy, crazy.
My opinion.
Yeah. But they'll bring Keyshawn Davis along, man, and I'll look forward to it, man. I think he's good, man. I think he's real good. Does he have what it takes to be the next star? I'm not going to go that far, but he's a good fighter. Really good fighter, man.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's go to the upcoming fights. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, people look back at the amateurs and how Cruz – has beat Davis a lot in the amateurs, but the pro game's totally different. And I go back to this all the time. Like Henry Tillman beat Tyson twice in the amateurs. He was the guy that stopped Tyson from going to the Olympics. And Henry Tillman was the gold medalist at heavyweight.
Howard Davis, Aaron Pryor.
Yeah, but you saw what happened in the pros. Tyson knocked him out one round.
It wasn't even close.
Yeah, I think Keyshawn Davis versus Andy Cruz in the pros be a very intriguing fight. And you could make an argument that Keyshawn Davis's style is more suitable to the pros than Cruz's is. That's an argument that could be made. I'm not saying that it's the fact, but you can make that argument. So I'd love to see them eventually fight each other as pros.
Yeah, I would too. All right, June 25th. The Tuesday at 4:45 Eastern time on ESPN. Listen, it's not the I don't believe the main event is starting at 4:45. It's probably going to start somewhere around 7 or something like that.
They're saying about 8 o'clock the main event's going to start.
Oh, that's perfect, man. That's just perfect.
Good, right?
I love it, right? Yeah, you know, work, watching the fights, doing your job, doing whatever. These are the best. This should take place every week. Big fights during the week. I love it. I love it, man. Stephen Fulton versus Naoya Inoue from Tokyo. 12 rounds for Fulton's WBC and WBO junior featherweight titles. Naoya Inoue stepping up in weight, stepping up in competition, you could argue. Steve, I like this fight. I like this fight a lot. I do think that Naoya Inoue has got the advantage here. He's big in Tokyo. There's nowhere to have his fight except for Tokyo. You know what I mean? He's going to fill that stadium up. But Fulton's a bigger guy than what Inoue is used to fighting. He's going to be bigger. Is he going to be strong? I don't believe he will be stronger than Inoue, but he's a bigger guy than Inoue was fighting. He's also a slicker guy than Inoue is used to fighting. If I'm Stephen Fulton, I take out that Donaire tape, that first fight in Donaire.
I said the same thing.
And I think you take what you do well and what you see in that tape, and then you adapt that style. Because he had trouble with that. He had a lot of trouble with that.
Yep.
And Stephen Fulton is a defensive-minded guy. He's got a very good defense. He's going to have to move his hands here. You know what I mean? And I think that's going to be – I think what's going to happen, my personal feeling, is that he's going to get caught early, and he's going to get caught, and then he's going to turtle up. He's going to go to look the distance fight and maybe try to outbox him. But to me, it's all going to be what Stephen Fulton does in the adjustments. Once he gets hit with a big shot, because he's going to get hit, you know, what's he going to do then? What adjustments will he make? And the flip side on Naoya Inoue, this is a guy that's different from all the other guys he's fought. This is a different type of fighter, man. And Stephen Fulton has been in dogfights. Stephen Fulton has been challenged. He's been all these guys, you know what I mean? He's been to the well quite a few times in his career, you know, and he's come out on top. He's a champion. He's not going to go down easy. I don't see a six round and under knockout for Inoue. I see this fight going the distance. I think Fulton does have an outside shot at it, but you're in Tokyo. I don't know who the judges are.
All neutral judges.
Then hey,
no American, no Japanese.
Beautiful, beautiful. Then you know, but I still think it's going to be tough to take a decision away from Inoue in Japan. And I just think Inoue's power, you know, this is going to be an interesting fight because we're going to see where that cap lies on his power. You know, sometimes you go up too much. Look at Canelo when he fought Bivol. He doesn't have that power at 170. He doesn't have that. So it's not going to translate going up. Will Inoue's power translate going up? I don't know.
Don't know.
But I know he's fast. I know they're both quick. They're both great fighters. It's a good fight. I mean, this fight, I don't understand why it's taking place during the week instead of on a week. But that's how they do it in Japan, you know?
That's how you do it in Japan.
But I tell you what, man, I can't wait for it. I think this is a good fight. This is just an incredible fight week. You talk about Fulton in Inoue. You got Spence and Crawford on the book end of this. I mean, is this the best week in history? In history.
I'll tell you what this fight reminds me of. And it's not identical to it, but I think it could resemble this fight. When you look at Lomachenko versus Haney, right? You had Haney, the busier guy, but some people argue that Lomachenko landed the more telling blows. That was the argument.
The story of the fight.
That was the so-called story of the fight.
I hate that stupid Kellerman.
Oh, my God, I hate that song. But see, one thing I may disagree with you with is Fulton did show that he's pretty strong when he was in there with Brandon Figueroa, who was a big, rugged guy.
Yeah.
He held his own on the inside.
Yeah,
with Figueroa. One thing I don't think Fulton can do in this fight is lay on the ropes, because there's sometimes when you lay on the ropes and you try to set traps, a lot of times like fighters won't follow you in because they're concerned about getting countered and they don't want to take the bait. Inoue doesn't care. Like, he'll follow you in there and he will open you up. You know, he'll be able to thread the needle. Inoue is a very efficient fighter. He's a very accurate fighter when it comes to landing clean punches. So the difference between Inoue and Lomachenko is you can argue that maybe Fulton will be the more active guy, busier, but I think Inoue will land the more telling blows. And because Inoue is such a sharp puncher, those telling blows will get Fulton's attention and buzz him, right? They'll buzz him on occasion. So this could be a fight of quantity versus quality, and because Inoue is such an accurate, clean, effective puncher, you could argue that judges may like his cleaner, sharper work maybe better than Fulton's volume. And another similarity, I'm going to make a comparison here, is Inoue does something that David Benavidez does very well, in my opinion. And these are guys with very good counterpunches, right? Both guys are counterpunches, but they're aggressive. So they could come forward and catch and shoot when they're coming forward. So Inoue can come forward, catch the shot, stop, set his feet real quick, slide into position, and counter you as he's catching your initial shot, moving forward. A lot of fighters aren't really effective at doing that. They, you know, you watch Benavidez, he's coming forward, he's catching, stopping, boom. You know, catching, boom. Like, you know, Inoue does that. When you watch him come forward, you know, his defense is a little bit underrated. And to add to his efficiency, he's quick and explosive with his feet. Doesn't move a lot, but he can step and cut off the ring very well. You know, he can anticipate and cut off those escape routes when his opponent's trying to circle him, right? And the beauty of it is this guy sets himself and transitions so quickly from defense to offense, offense to defense. This guy just transitions so quickly and is so, like, he can just throw such short punches, such precise, short, straight, right down the middle, give him that little space. He'll find a way to hit you. He can get a lot out of a little, this guy, right? So this is why he's dangerous. So this guy's going to be dangerous coming forward and going backward. The one caveat I have, and I'll repeat this, is Fulton can't get too cute on the ropes, right? Because this guy can dissect you. He's like a surgeon, this guy. And he's also really good at, you know, throwing those decoy throwaway punches to open up the big shot. So I think this is going to be a hell of a fight. I kind of root for the underdog a lot here, but I don't know, man. I find myself going back and forth here. I think Inoue will win a decision, and I think it'll be a competitive decision. But it's hard for me not to appreciate what Fulton's doing here. I mean, this guy could have easily went up to 126, got a rematch with Brandon Figueroa, probably fought for a vacant featherweight title or something. There was other opportunities for him. Obviously, this is probably the most lucrative opportunity for him, so that's why he took it. But it's still a big risk. He had to make a lot of concessions. There's no rematch clause. He's the champion. He's going over to Inoue's backyard, right? He's going to be the B side here, but he's the champion, right? So this is a similar situation to Devin Haney versus Kambosos. These are two guys that really wanted to be in these big fights, and they made concessions and they made it happen, and they just showed everyone else that, you know what? You really want to fight, you can make it happen. So it's hard for me to root against Fulton here. I can do nothing but admire what he's doing, his courage, and you know, his whole mindset, just for the fact of doing what he's doing, where and he even said himself, I'm doing what a lot of fighters don't want to do and have not done.
Yeah.
And the evidence clearly shows that, right? So it's hard to not appreciate what Fulton's doing. It's hard to not somewhat root for him a little bit here, but I just do think Inoue is he's a tough guy, man. He's a very, very skillful guy.
He's a special guy, special fighter.
Yeah, and that power is the X factor.
Yeah, I would definitely go along with that power being the X factor. I see the fight going the distance. I don't see him putting Fulton away, but I do see a 9-3 type of fight here. I really
you see a 9-3.
Inoue,
yeah. I see like an 8-4, 7-5.
Yeah, I'm seeing like a 9-3, 10-2 type fight. I think that my guess is that Inoue, you know, every time we question Inoue, or not really question him, but say, all right, he's fighting a great fighter now, he rolls. I mean, it's knockout. You know, he doesn't.
Who did that fight against Rodriguez?
Yeah, Emmanuel Rodriguez. And I picked Rodriguez. I said, man, this guy.
He both did.
Because we've seen Rodriguez fight.
Yeah, he's a good fighter.
He's really good. You know, and the up-and-comer, I said, he's going to be the one to stop the. Man, I mean, he just got demolished. I mean, it was like two rounds. Like that guy, I mean, that power is game. That's game-changer type of power, man. And he's going to catch him. My guess is he catches him early. Fulton covers up, doesn't want to get hit, and he's constantly under that barrage of, you know, now he's forced to defend because he has nothing coming back.
So you're basically saying once Fulton gets hit with a good shot and gets hurt, he's going to be a little bit more hesitant to be offensive-minded. And he may, as you said earlier, possibly shell up somewhat and go.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be one of those type of fights.
Survival instincts will kick in.
And listen, Fulton's good enough to go the distance here. Fulton's good enough to not get knocked out here. He's a really good defender. And, I mean, again, if you know as well as I do, if they're not going to open up to get knocked out, and that's what they're concentrating on is not getting knocked out or knocked down or hit, it's almost impossible. You know, it's almost impossible. Now, the big controversy here in this fight that's been taking place in the past couple of days, the Fulton group is complaining about how Inoue wraps his hands. They're claiming it's illegal due to a method called stacking. Beeb, please explain stacking to the people and that it's a legitimate thing.
So stacking, it's not even in the rules. It's not even listed as something you can't do in the Association of Boxing Commissions. But in the folklore of boxing, Twitter, social media, all this BS, stacking is when you put the gauze, then the tape, then the gauze, then the tape. Then the gauze. So you're alternating gauze, tape, gauze, tape, gauze, tape. And I did a video today. I read the rules, right? And, you know, there's a specific amount of gauze you're allowed to use, and it can be a specific width, and there's a specific amount of tape that you can use, right? So as long as you are dispersing the tape and the gauze evenly, and as long as the tape does not go past an inch beyond the knuckle, so you can go. So the tape cannot be past an inch. So you go back an inch from the knuckle, and that's as far back as the tape can go. So right here, roughly. As long as that the tape does not exceed that, then it doesn't matter, right? I think it's like 20 feet of gauze. You can use 20 feet of gauze, and it could be 2 inches thick. Mm-hmm. And you can use 8 feet of tape that can be an inch and a half thick.
Yep.
Right. And as long, like I said, as long as that tape does not cover any part of the knuckle, so it's an inch back from the knuckle. As long as that is being done that way, then it's not considered stacking. And Stitch Duran said, you know, he did a demonstration where he wrapped Kevin Ioli's hand.
Yeah.
Because the Canelo Alvarez, I guess, Abel Sanchez was complaining about how Canelo Alvarez wraps his hands because he does that quote-unquote stacking method. And Kevin Ioli said something that, you know, he saw, he felt how the just the straight gauze, then the straight tape, which was the conventional wrap, I guess. And then, you know, he had the stacking hand, you know, and he noticed that one thing that was different with the stacking hand was he couldn't move his wrist as much. So to me, Canelo Alvarez, who already had a bad wrist, to me, it seems as though he probably, and this is just my opinion, I don't know this for a fact, but this is, you know, it's pretty plausible. Because when you do go gauze tape, I think you have a firmer wrap where the wrist is not able to bend as much.
Right.
And because Canelo Alvarez had a bad wrist, I think he wanted a firmer, more stable wrap. That's why I think some fighters like that method on their hand, because it allows for less movement. It holds the hand tighter in place as opposed to just putting the gauze. Because the gauze is more pliable, whereas the tape is less pliable. So if you go gauze tape, you have a less pliable hand, right? It's not gonna move as easily, right? So some fighters don't want their wrist to move at all when they're punching. So when you throw a hook, you don't want your wrist to kind of turn in or whatever. So that the only advantage to doing that is it's a more firmer wrap, right? But you're hitting with this part of the hand anyways. So if nothing changes here, right, and you know you're stacking on the back of your hand, you don't. This isn't fucking PKA full contact karate where you're throwing spinning back fists. You're not hitting with this part of the glove, right? And either way, it doesn't matter because you're using the same amount of tape and the same amount of gauze dispersed evenly. So you're hitting with this part of the hand. It doesn't matter.
These two knuckles are the impact point. These two. BZ says, please be transparent, type in Liam. Yeah, I did that already. And it's just Liam Smith. Yeah, and he accuses a guy of stacking or whatever. They're in London. They're in Japan. See the difference?
And you don't know if that guy was covering his
knuckles.
You don't know.
So, again, your knuckles, it's not, you know, it doesn't help you to have your wrist taped. It doesn't make you hit harder. It doesn't make you, it nothing. It makes everything tighter. It protects your hands and your wrist.
All you got to do is go to the Association of Boxing Commission's website, and you go under the hand wraps, and there's nothing there that tells you that you cannot put gauze tape.
No.
Here's the rule. Hand wraps shall be restricted to no more than 20 yards of soft gauze, not more than 2 inches wide. The gauze shall be held in place by no more than 8 feet of adhesive tape, no more than 1/2 inches wide. The adhesive tape shall not cover any part of the knuckles when the hand is clenched to make a fist. The use of water or any liquid or material on the tape is strictly prohibited. Hand wraps shall be applied in the dressing room in the presence of a commission representative and, if requested, one representative of the other boxer. There's nothing in here that says you can't go tape gauze.
You know, that's a commission on a state-by-state basis.
That's not easy. Not true. This is the rule from the Association of Boxing Commissions. So whenever you hear a big fight being held, this fight is being held by the Unified Rules of Boxing, right? You ever hear that said? Do you ever just heard that said before a fight? What is the Unified Rules of Boxing? That is the Unified Rules of Boxing from the Association of Boxing Commissions. How come Canelo didn't? How come when Abel Sanchez told Canelo to cut his hands off? That cut his gloves off, wraps off. How come he didn't cut his off? Right?
So if I tell you what, if you want my opinion, this is a ploy, and this is a very good ploy that Fulton's doing Fulton's team, rather, is doing because I think it gets in the head of – they want it to get in the head. They want to create some controversy. I get it. But the bottom line is it doesn't make you hit any harder. It doesn't make any difference, and it's not illegal. All of a sudden, you guys hear a term, all of a sudden, that's all you guys think about. Stacking, oh my God, stacking is because, blah, blah, blah. It's not. You're wrong. You're just wrong.
It's not only in Vegas, because yeah. you could look up the Texas. There's a video online where the Texas rules. It says the Association of Boxing Commissions, the Unified Rules of Boxing, it's all the same. Texas, you can do the same thing. New York, you can do the same thing. Felix Trinidad did it against Hopkins. Trinidad did not cut his wraps off. Okay? What happened in – it doesn't matter what Robert Garcia says.
And I could
Robert Garcia
yeah.
is not – it doesn't matter what Robert Garcia says. It doesn't matter what Bredman Edwards says.
Yeah, the fight is
matter.
In Japan, guys.
All you got to do is read. Just read the Association of Boxing Commission rules.
Right.
It does not say you can't do it.
And BZ's
it's case closed.
Nobody's
going to
bet you $500 because you don't have the money.
I'll bet you $1 million.
Neither one of you have that money. Beeb might. But you're wrong.
it doesn't matter what Robert Garcia says.
You know what's funny? Like, it doesn't. You know what's funny about this is
no matter. What about Stitch Duran says? Stitch Duran is the guy that actually does hand wrapping. Robert Garcia doesn't do hand wrapping. Stitch Duran does hand wrapping. He says it, he says you can do it. He's the best hand wrapper in the business. He does UFC fights. He does boxing fights. He works for the Klitschko's. He worked for friggin', everybody.
You know what's funny, though, Beeb? Like, no matter how much evidence you present, it's not going to be enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's got his agenda,
It's cognitive dissonance, bro. It's cognitive dissonance.
What's a bread?
Did I send you?
What's a bread?
Did I send you? Yeah. Did I send you the rules from the Association of the Boxing Commission? Did I text them to you earlier today?
Yeah.
You saw them.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, you're right about this, Beeb. I don't know why you brought up Stitch Duran. He only does he's an actor. He only does like Creed and stuff like that.
Oh yeah,
what's
the
matter
with
you?
Yeah.
All right. So I think we're both picking Inoue here.
Picking Inoue by decision.
Yeah. Robeson Ramirez is also on that undercard versus Satoshi Shimizu for Ramirez's WBO featherweight titles. That should be a decent one. And that's about all I recognize on there, to be honest with you. July 28th on ESPN Plus, Cienza Estrada versus Leona Utica for Estrada. Seriously? Come on, guys. Let's move on to the next one. July 29th on Showtime pay-per-view, Errol Spence Jr. versus Terrence Crawford, 12 rounds for Spence's WBC, IBF, and WBA titles and Crawford's WBO welterweight title. Nonito Donaire on that undercard. His fight got moved to this undercard, which I think was a really good move against Alexandro Santiago for the WBC vacant bantamweight title. Isak Cruz, we were talking about him earlier, Beeb, versus Giovanni Cabrera, 12 rounds lightweights. Jesus Alejandro Ramos versus Sergio Garcia, 12 rounds junior middleweights. Good card. Decent card. Listen, whatever you're paying for it is good. What you're going to pay for it, $90. Is it worth it? Yeah, it's worth it. The main event alone is going to be worth it. So, and you also got some fairly decent fights on the undercard. So, yeah, man. Let's see here.
It'll be worth the 85.
What's going on with BZ? He's nuts, man. He thinks so. So he thinks Fulton is going to get him. All right, I'll tell you what. You want to pie bet it?
I love my people just as much as you do, BZ.
Put your money where your mouth is. You want to pie bet it? I'll pie bet it. I'll take Inoue. Let's see if he pie bets it. Crickets.
Love my people just as much as you do, BZ.
Crickets. Where you at?
He won't do it.
He won't. Of course he won't do it.
He won't do it.
No, I only bet money. Nah. Yeah, give me a break. All right, so let's talk about the Errol Spence. Let's talk about the Errol Spence things. 500. Pie. Let's do the pie, son. No, because I want you to – I'm dying to watch you humiliate yourself.
He won't do the pie.
I'm dying to watch you smash a pie right off
the face. He won't do the pie bet.
He doesn't. Yeah, I wouldn't want to show him that. Listen, man, it is what it is, man. It's all right.
I know where he lives.
Maybe next
time. I know where he lives down in Florida. I did a background check on him. I'll come see him.
What part of Florida does he live?
He lives like in the Miami area.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, he's a nice place.
Nice.
He's a nice little place. He lives in like Miami.
I like Miami.
I know where he lives. He lives near Fresh and Fit.
Fresh and Fit.
He lives near the Fresh and Fit podcast. Coming down to see him. I'm going to come see him.
I know. What about that? I mean, what about, like, just giving me the rooms, you know, so we can come down and see you, man?
I told him I'm going to roll up on him. I'm going to roll up on him one day. I'm going to surprise him. I know you live in Miami. I already did a background check on you.
You already did a background. What's the matter with you? What's wrong
I have
with
a security
you?
Clearance. I'm a military man, bro.
All right, let's break this fight down, man. This is the big one. This is the one we've all been waiting for. Errol Spence, Terrence Crawford. Let me give you my keys to victory, and then I'll kick it over to B for his keys, and then we'll break the fight down. Keys to victory for Spence. B, I think that Errol has to be himself. I think he has to play his game. Too many times, Errol Spence gets caught up in trying to beat the other guy at his game. He did it with Mikey Garcia. He did it with Sean Porter, which almost cost him. Just be you. Give me the body attack. Give me what you do well. You know what I mean? He's got to be the aggressor, and his activity is always sky high. He hasn't fought in, what, a year and a half, 2 years, whatever. He's been out for a while, right? My guess is that, you know, for whatever reason, he's 33, and I don't understand it. It's like you never see ring rust. When he fought Ugas, I mean, it was like, you got to be kidding me. This guy didn't look like he took a day off. You know, you would have never known he was gone. But this is a little bit different. This guy isn't Ugas, you know. I just think it's one of those things that, you know, Spence is, you wonder if he's going to, you know, you watch him get in there, and you wonder if it's going to hit this time. Will the ring rust hit? Will his age catch? But I think Spence has been the best for a long time. I've always backed him. So to me, I like Spence being Spence. Aggression, everything like that. Everything, the body, everything, man. For me, for Crawford now, for Terrence Crawford, he's a much better counterpuncher than Spence, all right? I think his footwork is better, and that should allow him to get off punches from different angles. That's going to be the key here for Crawford. He needs to make Spence hesitant, all right? Spence has got to know that when he throws a shot, he's going to get countered. And he's got to have some power behind that counter, and he's got to make him think. If he can get Spence thinking, he's got a big chance in this fight, man. This will make him less active, and this will give Crawford more chances. Beeb, give me your keys to victory for these two.
A lot is being said about the size, but I just don't think the size difference is that great. And I saw what Crawford did against the big Jeff Horn, who was bullying Manny Pacquiao and then throwing him around the ring. And he couldn't do that to Crawford. Crawford is a wiry guy. He has a wrestling background. I think he's stronger than a lot of people, you know, realize. I think the big key to victory here, couple things. But the main key here is versatility. You say this all the time. More ways to win. And how do you have more ways to win? You have more tools in the toolbox. That's not taking anything away from Spence. Spence is great when he gets on the inside, when he collapses that pocket. He's really good at positioning himself up close. He knows how to, you know, pivot around and step around you and create those punching angles on the inside. Very fluid body puncher on the inside. Really, really good guy on the inside. Crawford's decent on the inside. He can hold his own. I would give Spence the edge there. That's where Spence is at home. But Crawford's footwork, his foot speed, his foot movement, the way he can just change on the turn of a dime. I saw him start out unorthodox, right? He stepped forward, Kell Brook, and so subtly he steps and goes, he's like this. And in the blink of an eye, he's southpaw. Then he gets ready, like comes out like he's throwing a jab. Then he starts to punch out like a jab. And at the end of it, he turns it into a hook right at the end of it. And he hits Kell Brook with it and sends him onto Queer Street. Someone that can just switch and make that change so quick. Start off throwing a jab, and then right at the last minute, turn it into a hook. So he's like throwing the jab, and then just turns it over at the last minute. So it's almost fully extended, like here. And then he just turns it like this at the last minute into a right hook. I mean, that's – who does things? Like, that's some high-level shit right there, you know? And as good as Spence is, I just think Crawford is just more versatile. I think his foot speed, I think he can outmaneuver Spence. Spence tends to come straight forward moving lines, and he creates those angles once he's inside. But on his way in, he's not coming in, you know, creative. You know, he's got a great jab when he comes forward. It's a very strong, authoritative jab that can knock you off balance,
right,
break your rhythm, which enables him to get there. But if Crawford can deal with that jab, he's got great, great timing, right? I think he'll if he can counteract that jab, which I believe he will, right? I think Crawford will be giving him different looks. I think Crawford's ability to move quick and set his feet and get in position quicker, I think he'll be beating Spence to the spot all night, right? Spence may have his moments here and there, but I think Crawford will continuously make adjustments, and I don't think Spence will be able to keep up with those adjustments. I just don't. And I think in the second half of the fight, I think Crawford will start to land, you know, with more regularity and more effectively later in the fight. And I think Crawford will stop Spence late. I do believe that will happen.
No, no.
I think because Crawford can hit you with those shots that you're not ready for. As I said, he'll start throwing a punch, and at the last minute, change that trajectory of the Lufkin was good at doing that too. Like, he would start off throwing a right hand, and then he'd just kind of like loop it at the end. You know what I mean? So you're thinking you're thinking it's coming straight, and you're ready to block it. You put your hand out to parry it, and at the last minute, he loops it around your guard. See what I'm saying? That's like I said, that's how high level Crawford is, and I think Crawford is very dangerous in the mid range, where Spence, that's where he gets hit the most.
Yeah,
Spence is good when Spence is on the outside. He's good. When he's all the way in, he's good. When he's in the mid-range, when Sean Porter had him in the mid-range, when Ugas had him in the mid-range, right, that's when he was getting hit. And that's where I think Crawford has a huge advantage. I think he'll start slicing and dicing him up in the mid-range area. So I think the X factor is versatility here.
Versatility, okay. All right, well, let's talk about let's see here. Let's break this down speed-wise. I think Crawford is slicker, and I think he's faster than Spence. I think the speed goes to Crawford.
I'll give the speed to Crawford as well.
Okay. Power. I think that Spence is just a bigger guy. He's been at this weight since he started. Neither guy lacks power, but I have to give the edge to Spence here.
This is a tough one because Crawford has more knockouts than Spence, and he's on a knockout streak. You can argue that Spence maybe has a little bit tougher competition at 147.
Completely better competition at 147.
Yeah, that's a strong argument. I think I'll give the slight – I think it's comparable, but I'll give the slight edge to Spence. I think it's fair to say that because he is a bigger guy.
Well, and I will tell you, I mean, there is something to be said. Like I said, I forgot about – he has got a wrestling background. I forgot about that. And Crawford is wiry, and he is strong. He is a really strong dude.
Yeah.
You can tell that he's going to be – when he gets clinched, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be as easy as just walking him back physically. You know, you're going to be in there for a fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give Spence the edge in power.
Boxing ability. To me, this one is a push. Both guys are picture perfect boxers. Spence was in the Olympics. Crawford was on the Olympic team at one point. Him and Gary Russell apparently had a beef, and like one of them had to leave. So both guys have seen every style you could possibly ask for. I think this is a push. I really do.
I'm going to edge boxing ability to Crawford because of the versatility.
Okay.
Spence is really good at what he does, but I just think Spence being able to be ambidextrous, I think he's a little bit better all around. I think he's a better counterpuncher. I think he's better in the mid-range. I would have to say that Crawford can do more things, so all around I would give him the edge in boxing ability.
I think that's fair. I think that's a fair point. Defense. I think Crawford is definitely the better defender. I think he uses his legs, his upper body, creates angles, and it makes him difficult to hit. And it puts him in better position for the counters. And not that Errol doesn't have a good defense, but I've seen Errol get hit just for the sake of getting hit. He did it in the Kell Brook fight. He did it in the Sean Porter fight because he thinks he can walk through those shots. I don't know that he'll be able to walk through Crawford's shots.
Yeah.
Crawford's going to buzz me. You know, if he tries that, Crawford's going to buzz him. You know what I mean? And that's not going to be good.
Spence got a great high guard, and he's good at really picking off the shots with his gloves. But Crawford, like you said, can use his legs to carry him out of range. He's a little bit better with the upper body movement, bending up the waist, slipping and sliding. So I would say Crawford's better defensively.
Yeah. For me, the X factor. For me, the X factor here, and your X factor was versatility. For me, the X factor here is the size and the strength of Errol Spence. And I think that is going to be the X factor and how Terrence Crawford deals with this, you know. And we could, I tell you, I would be shocked if Crawford was the one bullying him. Do you think, and I guess, do you think that Spence tries to fight Crawford and try to beat him at his own game, or do you think Spence has a game plan here?
I think Spence is going to do everything he can to get on the inside. And I think his game plan is to crowd Terrence Crawford and not allow him to maneuver around the ring as much. He's going to go to the body early to try to take Crawford's legs away. And I think Crawford is going to kind of stick and move in this fight. I think Crawford's going to use a lot of movement. And I think when Spence gets close, I think Crawford will tie him up a little bit and try to lean on him and try to walk him back, try to impose his strength, try to let Spence know that you may be a little bigger than me, but I'm just as strong as you. And you're not going to control this fight. You're not going to you're not going to bully me. You're not going to try to throw me around this ring. You know, when you get close, I'm going to make you feel my strength. So that's why I think it's going to go. I think Spence is going to try to impose his will, particularly on the inside. And I think Crawford is going to is going to try to stop him from doing that by him getting a little physical, you know, and showing him who's the boss on the inside, right? He's not going to let him have his way on the inside. That's what he's going to try to stop from happening, I believe.
As far as who I pick for the fight, man, I've said this for a long time, and I said this ever since Errol Spence turned pro. I said, he's the next guy. He is the next superstar in the business. And I'm going to keep that same energy, man. I think that he wins this fight. And then I think he goes up in weight and he wins another title. And I think that Canelo is on the tail end of his track. Errol Spence is 33, though. You know, how much more time does he have left? I don't know. But I'm going to enjoy it while it's here. I think he beats Crawford. I think it's a good fight, not a great fight, but I think he beats Crawford. And, you know, they may have a rematch, but I think it'll be 8-4 somewhere in there. That's what I think. I think it'll be enough. Spence will have enough. And I think Spence will do it. I think Spence will do it by that power. I think Crawford's going to feel it. I can see Crawford going down maybe once in this fight or shook at least once in this fight. I can't see Spence being hurt by Crawford. I just can't. I just think that he's bigger. He's, you know, again, you have two great fighters here. A big guy usually beats a good little guy. That's how it is, you know. And so, yeah, man, I think Spence gets him. I think Spence gets him. I don't think he knocks him out. I don't think if there's a knockdown, I think it could be a flash knockdown. I think it could be, but I don't think Spence leaves his feet. I think Spence wins this fight, and I think Spence wins it. I think Spence probably takes a unanimous decision here.
Gotcha. Funny, a lot of people, seen a lot of people changing their pick late going with Spence.
You know,
this fight was first announced, a lot of people going with Crawford.
A lot of people
texting me, I'm going with Spence. And I think what happens sometimes is when you see these press conferences, you see these all accesses, and you look at the guys, I think people are kind of liking what they're seeing from Spence, how he looks physically, how he's been training. I think that has an impact on people. And, you know, at the press conference, Spence is very, very relaxed, confident. So I think Spence's demeanor and a lot of the footage they're showing of Spence training, I think it's having an impact on how people think this fight's going to go.
He looks huge. Yeah. He looks huge, and there's not an ounce of fat on that guy, man.
Physically, I've never seen him look.
Yeah,
as
he
good
looks
as
big, man. Yeah,
he is dialed in for this fight, and I'm not saying Crawford is not, but Spence has been the guy that people question though. Is he ready? Is he dialed in? Is he focused? And when you see a guy, because you always know that this guy had the ability, but the question was, can he harness that ability through discipline, right? And looks like he's showing a shitload of discipline in this camp.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Well, and Nando Llamas just said, he says, you know, Bud needs to start fast. And that's something I kind of just put in the back of my head. I forgot about, is that Bud's a notoriously slow starter here.
Yeah, he's a slow starter.
He's a very slow starter. You
can't
know? But 15 months, only one fight in the last 3 years for Spence. I get it. But the thing is, man, again, I haven't seen that ring rust from him. We've seen this before. We've seen this song and dance from Errol before. When he came back against Ugas, that was not a guy that was out. He looked like he fought 2 months ago. I mean, he was just – everything he did was just perfect, man.
I'll tell you what I've gathered from watching Spence over the years. This guy – reminds me a little bit of Andre Ward when you talk about guys who are just strong-willed individuals. Spence is one of the most strongest-willed individuals I've seen. How can you go through what he's gone through and still be standing this tall and this strong? you can't do nothing but admire this man.
No,
right? You can't do nothing but admire this man's resolve, his discipline. And he's got a lot of motivation. You see him with his kids. Like, he loves his family. Like, he's got a lot to fight for, right? And he talks about it a lot. Like, you know, I got my kids. This is going to set my family up for life. Like, this is motivation, bro. Like, this guy wants it. No one can question that. This guy wants it. I'm not saying Crawford don't want
right.
it. We always Crawford got a family. He wants it too. But he was never questioned before like Spence was. And Spence was put to the test more than Crawford in his life.
Yeah.
And he he passed the test. And he overcame the adversity. And he answered the questions. And he's back.
Yeah.
That's him.
He's an amazing fighter. He's a super nice guy, too. He's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. Just a super guy, man. And I got a feeling, man. I just think he's bigger. And, you know, listen, what do I know? I mean, let's be honest. This fight is a 50-50 fight.
And
what are the odds on this fight here?
Crawford's like a minus 155 now. He went up a little bit.
Did he go up a little bit?
Yeah, and Spence is like a plus 105, 110-ish. So
yeah.
Crawford's a slight favorite.
And Nando, if you're on the fence about buying a pay-per-view, let me just buy it. Just buy the pay-per-view. Trust me on this.
Everybody buy this pay-per-view.
This
please.
Is a good one. This is a good one.
Please buy this pay-per-view so we can continue to incentivize these guys to fight the best. Please, I implore, I never do this, but please buy this pay-per-view for the sake of the sport. Please. I'm sorry, I got to do it.
What's the matter with you?
I got to fucking do it, man. I'm pumped up for this fight, man.
What are you standing up for? Like,
I just got shot with a burst of adrenaline just hit me.
A burst of B12 there, huh? Yeah, I would say definitely buy this, man. I would definitely buy this fight. And let's see what we can do on Friday, B. They got that weigh-in on Friday.
Yeah, of course.
Let's see what we can do. Maybe we can put out a show on Friday and go over that weigh-in. I expect them both to come in great shape. I don't expect there to be any weight problems from either guy. I always say to wait to bet until you see the weigh-in. And this is no different. This is no different. You always want to see the weigh-in, who flinches first, and all that other good stuff. I'll probably change my pick a million times between now and Friday, you know, or now and post time, who knows. But yeah, it's just one of those fights, man. To me, it's a 50-50 fight. This can go either way.
I can't argue. If someone's picking Spence, I can't argue with them.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It really is.
And I won't argue with you. This is a fight where I'm not even really rooting for anybody. I like both guys a lot.
I do too.
I don't even want to bet the fight. My friends telling me, oh yeah, I'm gonna bet this, betting the draw. I'm doing that. I don't want to bet the fight. I just want to fucking sit down and enjoy the fight.
Your best bet would be to pick somebody on a decision because nobody's getting knocked out here. I don't think anybody's getting stopped. Nando Llamas, thank you so much, brother. We appreciate it. What do you think is as far as like the pay rate? You know, how many people you think? You think it hits a million?
I'm hoping so hard. I'm rooting for it to hit a million so bad. Oh, please buy the fight, everybody. I want
you to do that. You know what is disappointing? What is a little disappointing, though, is that it doesn't have that big fight feel, to me anyway, because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Mikey Garcia and Errol Spence had a big fight feel, even though it wasn't that, you know, it was a big fight kind of, but you knew, you know, I think we all knew that Spence was going to get him.
Problem is we're comparing this probably to Ryan versus Tank, because that was the only really big
that
fight we had.
That was a big fight, right?
And we heard that
was everywhere.
Yeah.
Not so much here. These guys are both boxers. They're not like YouTube celebrities or, you know, social media guys. You know, these guys, they fight and that's all they do, you know?
Fucking Beezy's hilarious.
You're not in the culture, Eric. What does that even mean? What does that even mean? I don't even know what that means.
You're not down with the urban stuff.
I'm not down with who? With the urban? With the what?
I'm not down with the urban sector.
I'm not down with the brothers. Well, I'm going to come to Miami. BZ, I'm going to come to Miami. I want you to show me how to fit in and assimilate.
I'm rolling up on BZ. I'm rolling up.
Yeah, we're rolling up on BZ. He's being racist, basically. So does this mean, hey, BZ, does this mean I can't pick Spence? Does this mean because I'm not down, I can't pick Spence? What does this mean exactly?
I'm picking the black guy, BZ.
Yeah, they're both black guys. What am I supposed to do?
Black guy.
Thank you. That's right, if you're not down with that. So, Beebe, how are you betting this fight?
How would I recommend to bet this fight?
I think it's got to be decision-based, right?
I would bet Crawford Butt with the decision prop if I was betting this fight. Or I kind of – well, no, I would bet the decision prop because the over is not great. You have to give up. Let's take a reach here.
All right. Do you bet the knockdown? Who gets knocked – if you had to bet – who gets knocked down? I say it's Crawford.
I don't think anyone gets knocked down in this fight.
You don't think so? I think Crawford goes down at least once.
I think Spence could get knocked down late.
Really?
I don't think Crawford gets knocked down.
Wow. I think Crawford could get knocked down in this fight. But if Crawford gets knocked down, I think he gets knocked down within the first seven rounds, not after.
Okay.
I think in the first seven. So that's what I would say. That's what I would say. Pugilism says it's doing a million.
I hope it does a million so bad. I want everybody to buy it, bro. If you're going to stream it, don't even tell me you're streaming it. I don't even want to hear that you're streaming it. If anyone in the chat tells me, just lie to me. Lie to me and tell me you're buying it, even if you're not. Just make me feel good. Because I just want this fight to do good, man.
What do you think the numbers are?
Honestly, I'm going to say, I agree with BZ, I'm going to say 800,000.
350,000.
Don't do it, Eric. Don't do it. Oh, Eric, that hurts.
Cincy, son. 350,000. I hope I'm wrong. I always cheer for pay-per-views to fail because I hate the pay-per-view model. And anybody out there who likes paying for fights, you're a moron, all right, because we could get this for free.
Nobody likes paying for fights.
People.
Don't say it.
Come on now.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, all right. Just dial it back.
I'll retract that.
Just retract it. Maestro says 850,000. Deluxe recording, $600,000 to $700,000. $600,000 to $700,000 seems to be the, you know, the number. 350,000 people are going to buy this fight. That's what I'm saying. Just tell me some sweet little lies. There you go.
Lie to me, man. You're my girlfriend. You lie to me.
All those masseuses, all the massage, the Swedish massage girls.
I'm the best.
What's that? What is wrong with you?
It is Swedish masseuse. My Asian honey dips.
Robert, 530, you're live. Hey, what's going on, Robert?
Not much.
You buying the pay-per-view?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am, without question. Without question. This is one you have to buy. And, Eric, you're wrong. This thing is going to... what did they say, Tank
what?
And... what did they say, Tank and...
No, you mean I'm wrong.
And Garcia did, didn't they say 1.2 million?
1.2.
Yeah, well, I think this surpasses
1.2.
I think this surpasses
You're out of your
that.
Mind.
No.
You're out
that
of your mind. I'm going to tell you why Robbie's wrong. I'm going to tell you one reason why Robbie's wrong. Errol Spence, not a household name. Terrence Crawford, not a household name. Tank Davis, household name. Ryan Garcia, household name. See the difference there?
No. Tank Davis and Ryan Garcia are social media names. Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford.
Yes, that makes them household names. Just because you don't get on social media doesn't mean, you know.
Yeah.
Tell him, Rob. Robbie's got a Twitter account.
Did you hear they're going to drop the Twitter name? I heard they're going to drop it and change it or something like that.
What are they going to change it to?
Something like X or something like that? Like Elon Musk has got this whole thing where it's going to be like Twitter's going to be like, I think he's going to drop the bird and drop the logo and everything like that. I don't know if it'll still be called Twitter, but yeah, he's jacking that company up, son.
Yeah, there's also a competitor out there. The guy that owns Facebook has come up with a new competitor to Twitter too. So you're going to be.
Do you know what that's called, Robert?
I've heard the name, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. But I know it's out there.
Threads, son. Threads.
Oh, that's it.
Get with
it. Yep.
Get with it. Come on,
yeah.
Give it the time,
but
Robert.
No,
Jesus.
For a boxing.
Get out of the comic books and get in the game.
For a boxing fan, this is Christmas week, man. You got the fight on Tuesday, and then you got the big fight on Saturday. You can't complain,
better.
Man.
What's better than that, right?
You think Inouye's loading his gloves, Robbie?
Robbie said he was.
No, absolutely not. I don't think Inouye's doing anything illegal, but I like what Stephen Fulton is doing, trying to get inside his head. I don't think it'll work, but I like what he's trying to do.
Don't buy into these shenanigans, Robbie, please.
Yeah.
Don't add fuel to the fire, man.
But as far as the two fights go, I think Inouye beats Fulton, and I think Crawford beats Spence.
Wow. How does he beat Spence?
It'll be a 12-round, very close decision, and it wouldn't shock me if it turns out to be a draw.
Wow. Okay. All right.
I think this is going to be a very close fight, and remember – they have dual rematch clauses, guys, so there is going to be a second fight after this, regardless of who wins or who loses. But the second fight I predict will be at 154. I think they'll both move up after this.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do you think how do you think that Crawford beats him? I mean, what do you think he does better than Spence?
I think Crawford has better movement, better speed. His hand speed, he's got better hand speed than Spence. Spence is very good. He's a very good boxer, but he's not as fast. But the biggest weakness that Terrence Crawford has, and he's never been able to overcome it, he might actually meet a guy that can deal with it. Terrence is very slow coming out of the gate, and Spence has never been slow coming out of the gate. So hopefully during this training camp, they have worked on how do you start faster, you know, because Terrence Crawford, yes, he's been dealing with good competition, but let's face it, at 147, Errol Spence has fought better people. So, you know, if you're rooting for Errol Spence, that's an advantage you have because Spence has never been a slow starter. Crawford always has been. But I'm looking forward to it. I heard
you're a slow starter too, Robbie, from some of those women that I've talked to.
Oh, my God.
So we heard.
Oh, my
what
God.
What we heard.
Oh,
some of your girlfriends told me you're a slow starter. Is that true?
Honestly,
I'm not even going to go there.
You don't have to answer that, Robert. You don't have to answer that.
But, no, this is Christmas week for boxing fans, man. You know, two good fights here. And hopefully the rest of boxing pays attention to this week, and we'll see other fights like this in the future, especially the heavyweights.
I hope so.
Pay attention.
Are you going to buy that Fury Ngannou pay-per-view?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Totally buying that.
No.
I'm buying that, son.
No.
You're buying it, aren't you?
No. That's a lousy birthday present. That's a lousy birthday present for me. That's on my birthday.
Is that your birthday?
Yeah. That's on my birthday, and that's a lousy birthday present for me. I want to
Robbie's
going to
be 37 this year.
How old are you going to be, Robbie?
59, Joe.
Good for you,
59?
Yep, 59.
59, look at you.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway,
have a nice birthday party for you, man.
This is a great week for boxing fans. And everybody, definitely buy this fight. And don't lie about it. Buy it.
Tell them, Robbie.
Don't lie about it. Watch
and by the way, hit the like button, will you? This is a good show.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
That's right.
That's right.
69, pause.
Oh, shame on you.
I didn't say it. You know I would never say anything like that, Robert.
I know.
All right. All right, Robert, we're going to get rolling here.
All right, see you, guys.
We'll see you. All right, my friend. D-Style, thank you so much. The paid advertisement. D-Style knows he doesn't have to pay for advertising here, man. Roundtable 141 this Thursday on D-Style's channel. It's Spence Crawford Fight Week. Hit the like button for the show, everyone. Thank you so much, D-Style. We appreciate it, man. And, B, why don't you tell them a little bit about the Roundtable?
Roundtable is one of the best shows on YouTube for boxing content, man. We have a variety of different panelists every week. One week I do the show, one week D-Style does the show. We have great topics. It's a great format. It's one of a kind and often imitated but never duplicated. So make sure you check us out 7 p.m. Eastern time on D-Style Boxing's channel this week, and the following week will be on my channel, Ringside Reporter Live, or our channel, I should say, Eric, Ringside Reporter Live.
Do we have the option to mute you during that roundtable? Because I think it would be better if, like, we heard, like, we just muted you. And like let everybody else talk. I don't know. You just kind of there's something about you in the show that just kind
of. I don't think you're aware of the contract that I signed when I first started doing the roundtable. They have to give me a specific amount of talk time on the show.
That's right.
So
yeah.
Muting is seriously out of the question.
Hey, listen, Beef's not talking. He's not working. You know. So what are you going to do? You know. All right, 805, California, San Luis Obispo, you're live.
Beeb, Eric, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey, Nacho. How are you, Nacho?
Hey,
I'm so glad you called in.
I'm all right, Beeb.
I missed you so much, man. I missed you. Did you get your shirt?
Yeah.
I
got it.
How's that working out for you? Like that shirt? How many days a week do you wear that shirt? Be honest.
Yeah.
At least
yeah,
3 days.
It's good.
Got to be at least three, Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays.
When you go on dates, you wear that shirt to show off or no?
Absolutely. It's a conversation piece. You have to.
Come on. Come on, guys. All right, let me just start really quick. I appreciate the fact that you actually went on Twitter and you actually called out some of these jokers that were out here trying to make this whole quote-unquote stacking thing an issue, especially when you replied to Breadman Edwards, who I think is a very knowledgeable guy, but I think sometimes even he doesn't know everything. And the fact that he wasn't able to respond to your tweet about the rules of the boxing commission when it comes to that stuff. I just thought that was pretty pretty interesting how he had no retort to it. And for a guy who's been in boxing as long as he has, the fact that he didn't even know that, that just goes to show you how some people will just run with a narrative that someone throws out there and then try to kind of use it as a way to discredit a guy like
Inoue.
You
would think that Breadman would know. Yeah, I mean, you'd think a guy like Breadman would know the rules, but
Breadman gets too emotional. He allows his emotions to seep into his opinions. I like Breadman a lot. He's knowledgeable, but he's not objective all the time.
Yeah.
He's just not objective. He's not an objective guy.
I think that's fair.
I'm sorry. He's just not. And Nacho, not to interrupt you, but you ever hear before a fight? Do you ever hear before a fight when they say we are under the auspices of the unified rules of boxing? Do you ever hear them say that before a fight,
title
fights?
They used to say that. They used
the
to
unified
say,
rules.
Yeah.
The unified rules of boxing are straight from the Association of Boxing Commissions.
Listen.
So everyone's sitting there saying, oh, well, some commissions allow this, some commissions. Show me the commissions. Show me one commission where it says you cannot put gauze tape. It does not exist anywhere. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And that's what I mean. Like, I thought it was pretty interesting, like I said, that a guy like him who, you know, he's in the sport and he's knowledgeable, like you said, Beeb. I just thought it was pretty blatant that he was trying to run with that narrative that, you know, something illegal was going on. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, you cannot be seriously buying into what some of these guys out here are trying to sell, because that legitimately has never been. I mean, my issue with it is, and I pointed this out to some people, Inoue has fought in America multiple times, and this issue has never been raised. Now all of a sudden he's about to fight Stephen Fulton, and now people are trying to push this narrative. I'm like, come on. Like, you guys are literally going out of your way to invent something in order to discredit the guy. And I think that's BS, because you're trying to say that he's somehow getting an advantage over every other fighter that he's fought. And I think that's garbage. And I just felt like, by you calling him out on it, I think that was great. And honestly, and I like Fulton, honestly, I just think, what happened?
Oh, I appreciate that, Nacho. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I just think that I like Fulton, but I just think people doing this stuff to try to discredit Inoue is a disservice to Fulton, because if Fulton ends up somehow winning that fight, which I don't think he is, I think Inoue is going to win, then why would you give full credit to Fulton for beating a guy who you claimed was cheating the whole time? Like, you can't have it both ways. You can't sit there and say that, you know, he's going to be one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the sport, but then the guy that he's fighting you're saying is a cheater. Like, that makes no sense. So I just felt like it was completely unfair, but I agree with you guys. I think Inoue is going to win that fight. It'll probably be somewhat of a wide decision for him. I could see it being like 8-4 or 9-3, like you guys said. I don't see Fulton winning more than about 4 rounds. It should be competitive, but I think Inoue should be the close. You know, he should get the win.
Let me jump in real quick.
Yeah.
Beeb, let me ask you a quick question here real quick, and I'll actually extend this out to both of you guys. If Inoue knocks out Stephen Fulton, how long before the steroids accusations come around?
Eric, they're already there on social media. I was just about to say, some of these clowns that are talking about the stacking thing were already on that narrative last week. They were trying to sit there and say that Inoue was cheating.
You know what? There's been no evidence of him with steroids. He's been drug tested. There was also no evidence of Manny Pacquiao taking any kind of enhancements or anything like that. No evidence whatsoever.
Not at all.
None. No proof. Floyd says it. Automatically, everybody runs with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awful. And then some of these guys were out here doing the same thing with Inoue. No proof. And then when you start basically showing how it's a double standard in that they want to call out Inoue And Manny Pacquiao for supposedly using PEDs, but then if you were to call out their favorite fighter for using PEDs, then they get all upset. Yeah, it's embarrassing sometimes what these guys will resort to in order to, you know, put this narrative out there. And then just real quick about Spence Crawford, I agree with Robbie. I think Crawford's going to win. I think he should win the decision as well. I don't think, as much as I would like him to stop Spence, I think somehow Spence is going to find a way to survive and make it to the final bell. But I think Crawford should win that fight. I could see him winning like 8-4, 7-5 probably. But hopefully it's a competitive fight. And like Robbie said, hopefully Crawford doesn't kind of lay back the first 3 or 4 rounds and let Spence just kind of dictate the pace. I hope he kind of goes out there and matches his energy at the beginning of the fight, and then as the fight goes along, hopefully he's able to take over the fight, and then eventually, you know, he ends up pulling away at the end. So, you know. All right, guys, I just wanted to call in.
Are you buying the pay-per-view?
Yeah,
are you
I'm
buying
actually,
the pay-per-view?
Yes, Beeb, I'm actually watching it with some friends.
What are you shilling for the pay-per-view for? Like, you're getting a cut of the pay-per-view. $350,000, son. You keep that number in mind. That's all it's doing.
I think Eric is going to go over that.
I do things without monetary gain in my mind.
Stop it.
Money doesn't rule.
I think it's going to go over that, Eric, but I don't think it'll be
still pretty good.
I don't think it'll be anywhere near the Tank Garcia fight. I say at most the fight probably gets about $600,000.
It ain't even going to be at, no, 350.
Nacho, when you go to work tomorrow, do me a favor. Tell everyone to buy it.
Okay.
Tell them this is going to be the best fight they've ever seen. I want everyone to buy this fight. I want this to do at least $1 million.
All right, Beam.
I'm putting a Spence Crawford poster on the top of my car, man.
Five people will see that. Five.
Don't do it, Eric. Please, you're killing my. You're gonna crush my dreams there.
All right, Nacho, we're gonna get running.
All right, guys.
Thank you so much for calling in. Let's go to 267. That's Philly. People, this is
Philly Drew.
267. You're live.
You got it right, Joe. What's up?
What's up, brother?
Nothing much. Just watching you guys breaking down shit and everything. But I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm picking Fulton to beat anyway. And I think the footwork, the boxing is going to be too much for anyway. I think that he's moving up. The question is the power going to come up with him? It's always going to be a question moving up. So
sure.
I think, with these accusations and everything, I think people need to look at it from a different angle, because as soon as he brings accusations up, they're going to bash the dude. Oh, he's sitting over his excuse to pull out and everything. But these are the same people that say, oh, we need to make boxing safer and everything. We need that should have been stopped sooner. It's the same people that are doing this that say boxing needs to be safer. Like, guys need to make their mind up. And I'm not saying it's you, Taylor. I'm saying it's like other people, by the way. But
sure.
But I'm picking Terrence Crawford by not late stoppage. And I don't think this is going to really be as close as people think it's going to be.
Okay.
I really think the ring IQ of Terrence Crawford is going to make this possibly Errol Spence needing a knockout to win this fight. And he's going to go for broke, and Terrence is going to stop him. And the thing about it is, inactivity. He's been a car accident. He's been a real bad car accident, and his eye was really messed up, so the scar tissue's messed up. And they're saying, Errol's got to get inside and everything. Errol tries to get inside. Terrence Crawford's going to counter with an uppercut inside. It's wing IQ, and that's how Terrence Crawford's going to dominate this fight. And it's going to end in like an 11th-round stoppage. And Terrence Crawford is going to be the first one to go undisputed in two different weight classes. And I think after the fight, if he wins, he's the overall pound-for-pound number one fighter.
Yes.
There we go.
This fight does 800.
Go ahead.
This fight does 800.
There we go. All right. All right, Philly Drew, we're going to get running here. Thank you so much, my friend.
Make sure you tell everyone at work to buy it, Philly.
Stop it. Stop it. D-Style, thank you so much. He said, the problem is credible media members two-siding the situation, and instead of fact-checking, they instead do this lazy and convenient. This isn't the first time this has been brought up about NUA. There you go. Thank you so much, D-Style. I'm sorry I butchered that for you. All right, let's go to, let's see here, 925, and that's East Bay.
It's Lukey.
925, you're live. Lukey, what's up?
Lukey, what's up?
What's up?
Hi, Lukey.
You know, just recovering from a surgery, so I'm listening to you guys live. Great show. You guys know it's
right.
A great show. You don't need me to tell you.
Doing
great
well,
show.
I didn't know you had surgery.
Yeah, I lost a private part, so... I had a couple of things I wanted to share with you guys. Am I the only one in the world that thinks George Kambosos is a super featherweight fighting at lightweight?
He is kind of tiny. I think that I saw your comment. I think that's a legitimate argument.
Yeah, that's not very good podcasting. So I just wanted to throw that out there. This in a way thing. I also want to say I'm excited for the fight. But I do think there's a levels gap in this fight. What do you guys think of that? Like, I think Inoue is kind of on a different tier than Fulton, and the X factor is the size.
Well, we're going to find out. I think that, you know, Fulton's a really – I think this is – you know, it's funny, man, because every time I say Inoue is going up against a really good fighter that should test him, he's been rolling right through everybody. Fulton is a different kind of guy. This is a different kind of fight for Inoue. I still see Inoue winning. I don't think it's easy, though, and I think it goes to a decision.
Well, Lukey, if you remember, we talked about something like this before in regards to Beterbiev. Every time when you look at someone who's a power puncher, a lot of other things they do well in terms of boxing ability gets overlooked. And I think this is the case with Inoue. People get caught up so much in Inoue's power that they don't realize how good of a boxer he is. The way he's just, you know, transitioned so quickly, the way he's able to be a very skilled counter puncher, the way he knows how to open guys up, you know, mix in like soft shots and use those decoy throwaway punches to open up the power shots, the way he's able to thread the needle, the way he's able to cut off the ring, the way he just sets his quick and is able to transition so quickly. And punch so fluidly. So as good as Stephen Fulton is, I think that Inoue, you could argue, is better because if you even look at the experience, he's been in 11 title fights. Stephen Fulton's only been in 3. That's not to diminish Stephen Fulton in any way, but when are people going to realize that this guy Inoue is more than just a puncher? This guy can actually fight.
He's a good boxer.
I think you hit the nail right on the head with that.
Well, and like, I mean, like, I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I'm actually a fan of Stephen Fulton. I'm a fan of Inoue. But if we were to break down, okay, who has the better jab, you might say it's Fulton. But if we really broke it down, you go, oh, it's really close. Oh, who has the better footwork? Well, like you said, with Beterbiev has amazing footwork. People just don't see it because what he's doing is he's closing the gap and he's setting traps and then he's knocking guys out. And oftentimes we romanticize a guy who's on the back foot. My grandfather used to tell me stories of a guy named Joey Maxim. Joey Maxim could beat you, and he wouldn't even get a drop of sweat in his hair. Well, Joey was a romanticized boxer that wouldn't hurt you. Often we don't think of guys like Golovkin, Beterbiev, Inoue as boxers because in our brain we think that – I shouldn't say we. Sometimes I get fall into this trap. If you guys don't fall into this trap, good for you. But sometimes I look at fighters and I forget that an offensive fighter can be a fantastic boxer. Traps, they're doing things. And to me, with this fight, I just see it as a levels fight. Because I look at Jamie McDonald. I've been doing film study on Jamie McDonald. He's a really good freaking fighter, bro. And
very good
in
fighter.
Inoue made him look like he was a nobody. I was so excited for that. I was excited, as people are for this Fulton fight, I was excited for that fight because I'm like, okay, Jamie McDonald, I've seen him before. This guy's good. What was it, like a one-round fight? So I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, there's either two ways this fight goes. I'm just not seeing something, which is totally – because sometimes I have bad vision, or I'm just seeing something and the world isn't seeing what I'm seeing.
Well, the odds have anyway, big favorite. He's almost like a 3.5, close to 4-to-1 favorite. So
that's how
the odds makers are seeing what you're. Yeah, the odds makers are seeing what you're seeing. So I've told you this before, Lukey. A lot of people don't break these fights down objectively, man. They do it with emotion. And unfortunately, I'm going to say it, I'm probably going to get a lot of slack for it. There's a lot of xenophobia in America when it comes to foreign fighters.
Yeah.
And they just don't give the foreign fighters a lot of credit. And
well,
quite frankly, in my own humble opinion, I think that's what's going on here. I think there's a lot of xenophobia against Inouye. Automatically, he's loading his gloves. He's doing steroids. Like, what is all this coming from, man? Like, this is just to me, just bashing. It's you're defaming this guy. And what has this guy ever done but just be a good fighter?
Yeah,
he's never done anything wrong. He never talked trash. He never hurt anybody.
But I think that comes from like laziness, right? Because Usyk right now is one of my favorite fighters.
Of course.
I don't really think there's any reason you could hate Usyk, but I hear every day people always tell me, oh, this random guy could beat Usyk. And I've come to terms with people are just lazy, and they don't want to watch a 2 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the afternoon fight on a computer. They don't want to wake up at 3 in the morning or 7 in the morning and watch a computer fight. So there's this – when you have boxing nerds like all of us telling you this guy's good, the fights are super inconvenient and don't come to your television – I think there's a level of resentment with some fight fans to just be like, I'm just not going to like this guy. You say he's good, but he doesn't come conveniently to my life. So I get what you're saying, but I do think that people just hate being told stuff, and it just sucks.
All right, Lukey, we're going to get running, man. Thank you so much for the call. And I tell you what, man, I hope you feel better. I know you're recovering, so I hope you feel better.
Yeah, best of luck to you, man.
Yeah,
I hope everything goes well with you, man.
Yeah.
Always wish you the best, brother.
NYC 347, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I can't see this fight doing really no million buys. These dudes are not, like, it's no superstars in boxing anymore. Like, not even Tank Davis. Like, I've been into the area where he was going to the fitness gym and they wouldn't even know him if he walked through there. So, I can't see this fight doing no million buys. I got Spence in stoppage, 10th round stoppage. Crawford is just too little. I mean, he shouldn't even – he's a lightweight, really. You know what I mean? Like Lomachenko. So I got Spence winning this fight, and I don't have this doing, you know, a million buys. And again, boxing just embarrassed itself last night with the robbery of Maxi Hughes as well. Like, I mean, you know, boxing is just, it's just tough to keep supporting the sport after what happened last night. So, but, just making a prediction for the fight, Spence, 10th round, stoppage. And I would say this fight does about 500,000 views. Tops.
Oh, come on. Yeah, he's right.
Can you do me a favor? Can you tell me, can you do me a favor? Tell all your friends to buy this pay-per-view, please.
Yo,
when you go to work tomorrow, tell all your coworkers to buy this fight too, man. Really promote this fight.
Like,
They're
gonna be like, who is Terrence Crawford?
Don't do that, man. Teach them. You gotta teach people. You gotta help people.
Biggs, I'm keeping it.
Each one teach one.
I'm keeping it a buck with you, bro. Boxing is just, and even after last night, boxing is taking, it's just slowly going down. I mean, I'm surprised it still lasted this long. You know what I mean? Really, like, but you know, these guys are not household names. I mean, even Canelo's not really.
I was making such
a project
in therapy.
Know him.
The depression.
Only way people even know Canelo is because of Floyd. You know what I mean? The only way.
There you go.
You got to tell people, oh, the guy that fought Floyd Mayweather. I'm like, oh, I know who Mayweather is, but you know. So, yeah, but I'll try to promote it. I mean, you know, but again,
help out the fight, man. Help out the fight.
How about it?
Be an ambassador. Be an ambassador for the sport, please.
Stop it. Stop
yeah,
it.
I've been there, brother. I've been there even with small fights. Like last night, I would even tell people about it. Just, but like, again, people, casual, majority of people now just casual box. Boxing is, I mean, again, like I said, I'm just surprised it even lasted this long. The way with the corruption in the sport is just sad. And to see that man Maxie Hughes robbed like that and then his interviews afterwards was just, for lack of a better word, fucked up. I mean, like, you know, so you guys enjoy the fight again. 10th round stoppage, Spence, this fight, it tops the 700 pay-per-views, you know what I mean, buys. And, you know, justice for Maxie Hughes. Peace.
Okay.
All right, there we go. New York. Thank you so much. We appreciate it, my friend. All right, let's get back to the news here. Liam Smith, D, versus Chris Eubank, 2, is set for September 2nd. You like that fight?
I actually do like the fight.
I don't mind it.
I like Chris Eubank in that fight. I think he's going to win.
Really?
All right. I do.
Ryan Garcia reportedly made $30 million for the tank fight, and this is according to De La Hoya. De La Hoya now making the rounds on the talk show circuits and everything like that, podcast everywhere, you know, in ESPN. I think I saw him. He was on the Breakfast Club. Talking about his lawsuit with Ryan Garcia, just airing all his laundry out for everyone to see. Why would I cannot stand De La Hoya. I really don't. I really do not like him. There's no reason for him to talk about this with anybody else other than Garcia, who he claims he can't get a hold of. Look, what do you think? I mean, if I was Ryan Garcia, I wouldn't let you get a hold of me either. You know, everything that Ryan Garcia knows about you, he learned from the last fight. You didn't show up to the press conference. You didn't. Neither one of you guys showed up. Nobody there showed up. You know, you let him go out. His trainer didn't show up. Nobody showed up for him. It was him and his family, and that was it at the press conference. What would you think? You don't think he's mad about that? You know, because you played off some, you know, halfway death threat, you know? Give me a break, man.
Bad look.
Yeah. De La Hoya is also I don't know if he's promoting this or not. I haven't really watched his interviews, but he's got a new documentary from HBO, of all places, coming out, like a documentary about his fight and or about his life and everything like that. You know, I'm not going to watch it, but, I'm not a big De La Hoya fan. So, you know, Tyson Fury has a reality series in the UK on Netflix UK set for August 16th. I believe it's something with the Furies, Welcome with the Furies or something like that, but it's on Netflix UK. I imagine we'll be able to watch it here, on YouTube or somewhere. It'll be somewhere. Somebody's going to pick it up, but, reality show, he's getting paid big money, man, between that Ngannou fight, with Ngannou's yeah. getting paid a lot of money. He's going to get paid a lot of money, so there's
a lot of kids.
Beeb, we have one caller left, and he's from the panhandle of Texas. Beeb, he's your favorite. Likes you.
Please,
Beeb, well, let's see if he has any. Let's bring him on. Come on. This is what I look forward to each week.
Uncle, this is to me, Eric.
806, you're live.
All right, I wrote something special for Beeb. It took me all night. I stayed up all night last night. I just want to.
This is all night, Beeb. You recognize what this guy is doing for you. What is your name, sir? Before we go, what is your name?
Beeb's number one fan.
Beeb's number. I love it. Beeb's number one fan. Beeb, you have a number one fan. Read it. Let's hear it.
Okay. Here we go.
You show him some love. Yeah.
Roses are red. Violets are blue. Beeb, I only have eyes for you. And then I have one last
I love it.
Song I'd like to dedicate
nice.
For Beeb.
Yes.
And,
yes.
I've been working on this probably for the past week, so this is for him.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, baby, I love your way every day.
Yeah.
I want to tell you I love your way every day.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, Beeb, I want to be
so
with you every night and day. I love you, Beeb.
I love it.
Why are you doing this to me? Oh, this is horrible.
Beeb, let me ask you a question. Now, he lives in Texas. Is there any chance of the two of you getting together? Maybe to meet or anything like that?
Eric, I have commitments to my Honey Dips. There's no way this could ever happen. You know that.
What if I flew him into Boston?
No, Eric, don't even try it.
What if?
Lois would not allow it.
What if we set it up for you guys to have lunch? Nothing serious. Just why don't you guys have lunch and maybe see where it goes?
No, Eric,
you know,
please.
Maybe he gives you a back rub or something like that. You get a little feelings, you know? I mean,
Eric,
you never know what will happen,
Eric,
right?
Eric, don't do this to me, please. You know I'm not a switch hitter. You know I
listen, man.
Straight,
well,
you know I'm straight
know,
and narrow.
I do, but I'm just saying, you know, maybe
I'm not knocking that lifestyle. I'm not knocking that lifestyle, but you know that that's not my lifestyle.
I don't know. It's James Burrell said it's still Pride Month up here. There you go, Beeb.
Never gonna happen, Eric. Please
stop it. What's the matter with you? Might be the last time we see Beeb. Yeah, what if he's like a serial killer or something? You know.
I mean, what are you trying to do, man? You trying to set me up here? This is defamation, man.
Defamation. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. Catch us. Stay tuned, man. You can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. YouTube channel is ringsidereporterlive.com. I'm at Twitter on Ringside at ringside73. Stay tuned, man, because I think Friday we're going to try to get a show together Friday for that weigh-in show and kind of tell you how everybody looks and everything like that and see what's going on. We're going to try. So don't hold it to us. Me and Beeb are busy men. You have absolutely no idea the obligations that we have that normal people don't have. You don't understand.
I got the cleaners coming on Friday, so we'll have to try to
work. Well, we'll have to work around that for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There you go. All right, guys.
Beeb Industries gets cleaned every other Friday.
That's it? I thought it was like every week.
No, every other Friday. We're trying to budget.
Budget.